In the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, John writes this: "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps, and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.'" Revelation 14, we read again of this lamb and of those gathered around him. "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters.'" In both these passages, we see the great glory of the sight of the Lamb of God, victorious. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Lamb that came into this world and offered himself up as a sacrifice, as a sacrificial lamb in the place of his people. That great Saviour of sinners who came and laid down his life as the Passover lamb of old was sacrificed and shed his blood, that the sins of his people should be washed away, that a great company should be redeemed from the earth, and that that company, in the end, should be gathered around his throne forever and ever, bringing praise and worship unto his name. This is the picture we see in these chapters. This Saviour, this Lamb of God who came, who he is, the great work that he did in redeeming his people. And we see something of who that people are and from whence they came. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Well, do you hear his word? Do you hear what this angel has said with a loud voice? Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. You who dwell on the earth, all you who dwell on the earth, male, female, child, adult, black, white, whatever nation, whatever kindred, whatever tongue and whatever people you are from, all you that dwell on the earth, have you heard this word? Do you fear God? Do you give glory unto him? The hour of his judgment is come. Your time on this earth is brief. And your time on this earth is always, always within the hour of this judgment. It is always within that span of time in which a voice from heaven speaks unto this world in the everlasting gospel, calling out unto sinners in this world to tell them that the hour of judgment is come. Fear God and give glory to him. Now, what hour do you think it is? Perhaps you think at this very hour, this is the hour when you are brought to a meeting to sit and to listen. And in the next hour, perhaps you'll go home and have something to eat. And in another hour, you will go out and shop. And another hour, you'll go out to school. And another hour, you'll go out to work. And another hour, you'll do this and you'll do that. And you divide time into hours in which you do this and you do that and you do the other. But to God, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day, and 1 hour is as the span of all time. And in God's eyes, the hour in which you live, whichever hour, this hour, the hour in which you are, ever in the present, at the moment it's this hour when you're listening to this message. Another day you may be in the workplace, but it's still this hour. Another day you may be in school, but it's still this hour. Another day you may travel, but it's still this hour. Another day you may be taken up with concerns of this world, finance, shopping, whatever it might be, but it's still this hour. Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Now, the hour of his judgment encompasses many things. It encompasses the fact that there is a need for judgment, and that God as judge will look upon a people in this world and pronounce his judgment. Whether you have done good, whether you have done righteousness, and the judgment is to declare this is righteous, or whether you have done wrong, whether you have done evil and unrighteousness, and his judgment is that you are a sinner, wicked, who has gone astray, and judgment must come down upon that. We will each be judged for our deeds, whether they are right or whether they are wrong, whether they are good or whether they are evil. The righteousness of God is impartial. It looks upon every man, every woman, every child throughout all time, throughout every nation. It looks upon every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every people with the same judgment, the same measure, and the same rule. And we will all stand before him and this judgment. And the hour of that judgment is now. It is neither past, nor is it to come. You stand before God in the present hour in his judgment. Where do you stand? And what do you fear? If you are found wanting, if God's sight, God's view of you, God's assessment of you, God's judgment of what you are, what you think, what you do, and what you say, finds you wanting, then his wrath is kindled against you because of what you have done. And his wrath will come down upon you very soon, as the penalty of his judgment is exacted upon the guilty. And his judgment against sin and sinners is eternal separation from him, is eternal judgment, is eternal burning with fire in a separate place called hell. This is reserved for the devil and his angels and all those who've gone astray like him, listening to the lies of the devil from the day that they were born and despising the truth of God and the message of God, shutting their ears to the everlasting gospel, even though God continues to preach it throughout time and throughout the whole earth. This judgment is reserved for all the wicked. Where do you stand before this God? Do you fear God? And do you give glory to him? Perhaps you feel that you are outside the scope, the reach of this judgment. Perhaps you feel that where you live and what you do is outside of God's sight. Well, he says that this gospel is preached unto them that dwell on the earth. Where do you dwell? And to every nation, in which nation do you dwell? And every kindred and tongue and people. Then you're not out of sight and you're not out of his reach. This judgment regards you and it regards me. Perhaps you might say, well, that's all very well, but I've never heard the gospel. But we read that another angel flew in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. The message of this gospel has been made known throughout the entire earth, throughout entire time. You may choose to ignore it. You may choose not to listen. You may choose to use your time to every other end than listening to this message, but you cannot claim the message isn't there. Whoever you are and wherever you are. Now there will be some who say, well, what about some of those tribes in the remote jungles that haven't heard a preacher? But Paul makes it plain in Romans that all men upon this earth, having descended from Adam, have a common ancestry. We're made of God. We're made of God in the beginning. And being made of God, we're made with a conscience. And there's that within us that knows right and wrong and knows that we are created beings. We know that God exists. Whatever foolishness there may be within us, however blind we may have become, that is there. We can try to quench our own conscience and understanding, but we know. This is why all these tribes that you discover, cut off from the rest of the world, are spiritual. Natural man in the 21st century, clever, wise man in the Western world, tries to delude himself with his science and understanding and knowledge that there is no God, that the world came into being by chance, that there was a big bang, that chaos ensued, and somehow over millions of years, things evolved into the state we're in, but there is no God. But he's a fool. And his wisdom and knowledge that he's gathered has led him there. But without such folly, every nation, every kindred, every tongue in this world left to themselves and left without much guidance know innately that there is a God. And every tribe you come across, cut off from the outside world, has its own ideas of how the world was created, who God is or who gods are. They know there's a spiritual realm. They know that there are powers and forces outside of them. They know it. And we're answerable to such a knowledge. Not only this, but the creation around us, the earth in which we dwell, the heavens and the earth around us, tell us of the mighty power of God, of his eternal Godhead. The heavens declare the glory of God. The stars above, the sun and the moon, the passing of the days, the weather, all declares the mighty power of God, and we know it. How foolish and small we are. How great man thinks he is until a little wind comes up, until a little storm comes up, until the snow comes and the blizzards come, and then how small he realizes he is. Without strength, without power, easily swept aside unto destruction, because there's a mighty power to which he's answerable, a power that created him, a power that created the world in which he dwells, and a power to whom he will be answerable. A God, the one true and living God, which his own conscience bears witness to, which the world and the creation around him bears witness to, and which the gospel, when he hears it in word, bears witness to. And this gospel has been preached, is being preached today. You are hearing it. You have a Bible to read it. You cannot claim you know nothing of it. And it comes unto you and says unto you that now is the hour of judgment. The hour of his judgment is come. Worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Why are you here? You are here, created of God, as part of the glory of his creation, to be one with God and to worship him. And your rebellion, your turning your back on your creator to go your own way, is the greatest, the worst, the ugliest of sins that you could commit. He made you. He sustained you. He's given you all that you have. And you pretend and live as though he isn't there. You take everything from God's hand. You never say thanks. You go and use it for your own ends and your own glory. And then you wonder when the storms come in life. You wonder when the trials come, what's going on. You moan and you complain when there isn't fair weather and sunny days for you every day. And yet you take from God's hand and use all that he gives you for your own glory and your own ends. Then don't be fooled and don't be surprised when he says unto you with a loud voice, the hour of his judgment is come. Fear God. Yes, wherever you are and whoever you are, this message reaches you. For it comes unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Why does it? Because God created every nation and tongue and kindred and people. We are all descended from his first man that he placed upon the earth. He created Adam, took out of Adam's side Eve, and they went forth and multiplied, and all the generations of man thereafter came from them. We are all of the same generation. And God has a people chosen out of these nations, out of these kindreds, out of these tongues, out of these people. He has a people chosen to be redeemed. All the people in this world have gone astray. We've all been born and gone astray from the womb speaking lies. You and I included. And yet out of every nation, God has chosen those whom he would forgive. He has looked upon this world, and even before it came into being, he has said, out of that people, I will choose a people whom I will wash clean. I will choose a people whom I will redeem. I will set them free. They may be captive to their own sin. They may be born blind. They may be deaf to the truth. They may be dead in trespasses and sins. But I will set them free. I will open their eyes so that they see. I will open their ears so that they hear this gospel. I will open their understanding so they can comprehend and understand that which was hitherto hidden from them. I will choose them. I will love them. I will redeem them. Like slaves, I will pay a price to set them free and have them be mine freely. I will set them free from their sin, free from the captivity of sin, free from the judgment that sin has brought in. And I will bring them unto myself. And to do this, he sent his son. He sent a lamb into this world. He sent a sacrifice. For he said, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the hour of judgment come. Sin must be judged. But if this people are to be redeemed, if they are to be separated from their sins, if they're to be washed clean of their sins, if they're to be forgiven of their sins, if they're to dwell with me forevermore, then their sins must be judged, not in them. Their sins must be condemned, not in them. For if I judge them, then they will die forever. Then another sacrifice must be found. One who could bear the judgment on their part. One who could suffer in their place. One who could die that they might live. And God found one who could stand in their place. The only one who could stand in their place. The only man who could suffer and die in the place of other men and women and bring in salvation. The only one whose shoulders were large enough. The only one whose arm was strong enough. God himself as man. The Son of God. Who took upon himself human flesh, yet without sin. A man just as they are, but without sin. One who could stand equal with men. And yet could take their sins upon him as a substitute. Because there's no judgment due unto him, but only unto them. He could take their sins and pay the price for their sins. But having died, he could rise again. For having taken the sin away, he was great enough and perfect enough in himself that there was nothing to keep him in the grave. Once they had been slain in him, once their sins had been condemned in him, once the full judgment of God had been rained down upon him, he himself could come forth from the grave again with everlasting life, for he himself never sinned. He was God, the Son of God, eternal, full of the everlasting righteousness of God, a lamb who could rise again from the dead, having redeemed his people. Here was one who was worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Here is one who could take a book naming all the people that God had chosen to save. A book which declared the judgment of God against that people. A book which pronounced judgment against their sins. But here was one who could take that book and open it up and say, take the sins of this one and judge them in me. Take the sins of that one and judge them in me. Take the sins of every one named in this book and judge them upon me. And I will go through the book and I will redeem every name in that book. Every name which is written upon my heart. And I will save them and I will redeem them. No man could do this. No man was able to do this. No man was worthy to open such a book. No man could look and say, I will save him, I will save them. None could, for all were sinners. But here was one who was able and worthy to open the book and to take the price of God's judgment against their sins and drink it up. As he drank the cup of God's wrath against them, he could drink it up to the dregs. John writes, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. No one could do anything about it. No one could do anything about the sins of mankind. No one could do anything about their own sins, let alone the sins of others. If you were to come upon that book, how could you open it? How could you dare to come close? You're not worthy, you're a sinner. You come near that book, you come near that throne, you come near this God, and his judgment would rain down on you in flames of fire in an instant. You wouldn't get close. They're all condemned. Because of this, John wept. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. How far man has fallen in his sin. How separated he is from God. How universal the judgment of God against fallen sinners is. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Paul says in Romans. All have sinned, you and I included. No one can get close to God. No one can get close to heaven. No one can get close to this book. There's none worthy. And he wept. Well, would you weep? No. You wouldn't shed one tear. You're so dead in your sins. You're so apathetic to the things of God. You're so careless for the things of God. You'd never shed one tear. What does it matter, you say? But you'll shed a multitude of tears if you go to the grave in such a state. When the hour of judgment has passed and it comes upon you in its penalty, and the time in this world is over, and you stand before Almighty God, then the tears will flow forth. Then you'll realize what this is all about. Then you'll realize what a fool you were to waste your time in this world on every diversion, every pleasure, every scheme you could run after, but never seeking God, never seeking heaven, never seeking this book, never seeking the Lamb of God. Well, John desired the things of God. John's eyes had been opened. John's heart had been opened. He knew the glory of God. He knew the hope of salvation. And when he saw this book, and when he looked upon every tribe, nation, kindred, and tongue, and saw the universal depravity of man, he wept that there was none worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. He wept at how awful the state of sin in man was, that no one could get close. But wondrous gospel, one of the elders said unto him, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, have prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. He's opened the perfect seals of the book. He's seen the names within. He's come to redeem them. He's come to save his people. He's done it. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. Not a lamb who would be slain. Not a lamb who was ready for the moment. But there he saw a lamb that had been slain. A lamb that had already accomplished salvation. Here was a lamb who had already taken the book, taken the names, gone to the cross, suffered for everyone named, suffered for all the elect of God, all 144,000 figurative names of his people, all the entire election of grace. He'd already been slain, and there he was standing, bearing in his body the wounds that man's sin brought down upon him. And there he was, standing in the midst of the elders, a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Here's the Son of God, who looks upon all the earth and sees everyone. Now I spake of the hour of judgment. I ask you, do you fear God? Well, do you realize that at this moment, this Lamb of God, this slain Lamb of God, looks upon you with seven eyes, the seven spirits of God, which see within, which see every thought within your heart. Oh, you can sit and you can hide from others. Oh, you can sit with your thoughts and your feelings and your rejection and your apathy and your hatred of the things of God, and nobody can see what you're thinking, but he's looking. And he's hearing every word that you mutter within. He's hearing every objection which you bring forth. He's hearing every cry of rebellion that you can muster. He sees. And he says unto you, now is the hour of judgment. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Here's a people who beheld the Lamb. They beheld what he'd done. Here's a people whose eyes had been opened. Here are the saints who pray, and they look and they behold their Saviour crucified for them. And they say, thou wast slain, and thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto God, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. What a wondrous thing that this people, sinners like you and I, who were once under the judgment of God, who once felt the hour of God's wrath, the hour of his judgment upon them, who once felt that outside of Christ they would perish, who once felt that they deserved his anger, they deserved his judgment, here they are and they've heard the gospel, their eyes have been opened, and now they know the Saviour. Now they know this Lamb that was slain. Now they know that they have been redeemed. Do you know? Have you heard him? Have you heard his gospel? Here in this chapter, we see the Lamb that would redeem this people. In chapter 14, we read of the gospel going forth to the same place that such a people should hear and believe. Here they are pictured, a people who have believed, a people who have been saved, a people chosen out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. But a people who once were in darkness, who once, like you and I, were lost, blind, deaf, dumb, without understanding, without faith, careless of the things of God. A people who once felt the judgment of God would be against them and their sins, but have now come to discover that the hour of judgment for them was an hour of judgment in which the judgment of God came upon another. This hour of judgment in which we dwell is an hour of judgment that divides the world in two. It divides every kindred in two, and every tongue in two, and every people in two, and every nation in two. Into those people for whom the judgment is a judgment of God's wrath and anger against their sins against them. A people who should fear. A people who have no hope. A people who, left in such a state, have nothing but wrath before them. But it is also an hour in which a great company, chosen out of the same kindreds, the same tongues, the same peoples and the same nations, have come to discover in the gospel that the Lamb of God was slain for them. And the hour of God's judgment came down upon him, not them. The hour of God's judgment now says to them that thou art redeemed. Thou art free. Thou art saved. Thou have been washed. God finds no fault with them. God finds no blemish in them. God no longer sees their sins. They're perfect. And they find themselves amongst those who live and reign with God. They've been made kings and priests, and they reign on the earth, praising God who took their sins and washed them. I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Only these people could sing this song. Only these understood these things. Because God had opened their eyes. God had taken these who were dead and caused them to be born again. Caused them to live. Caused them to rise up from the dead. When Christ died, they died with him. When he was buried, they were buried with him. When he rose, they rose with him. And they rose up, seeing that which once they could not see. Hearing that which once they never heard, and singing that which once they could not sing. Only these could sing. These which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not, were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. They are without fault before the throne of God. The hour of his judgment is come. Will he find in your mouth guile? Are you without fault before the throne of God? Look within, consider, where do you stand before this God? Can you say that before God you're without fault? Can you say that from your mouth there has proceeded no guile, no angry words, no sinful words? Is your mouth full of praise for God and his salvation? Or do the utterances of your mouth betray the wickedness of your heart? Well, here's a people of whom it could be said that in their mouth was found no guile. They are without fault before the throne of God. What made them thus? Are they naturally without fault? No, they're as guilty as you and I by nature. They're as guilty as all men. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They fell in Adam and they're descended from Adam like all others. They're as guilty by nature as anyone. And yet here they are in this hour of judgment before God faultless. Because the Lamb redeemed them from the earth. Because there's a people chosen out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people whom he redeemed, for whom he died, for whom he shed his blood, whom he has washed, whom he has presented to his Father, faultless and without guile. Has this angel come to you, flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to preach unto you who dwell on the earth, amongst every nation, kindred, tongue and people? Has he come unto you and said with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Has he come unto you? Have you heard his voice? Have you heard his gospel? Has that gospel opened your eyes to see this Lamb stood on Mount Zion? Has this gospel opened your eyes to see the Lamb which has been slain? Has this gospel opened your ears to hear his voice? Has this gospel brought you to that point where, being born again of God, with faith in the heart, you can look up and sing a new song unto this Saviour? Or are you yet with those that dwell on the earth in darkness? This message is universal. This gospel is not reserved for one nation or one people. This gospel has not just gone to this country or that country. This gospel is not just for the white man or the black man. It's not just for those in the east or those in the west. It's gone to every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every people. You cannot say that you weren't within its reach. God judges impartially and fairly. His judgment is over all the earth, and he sent the message of his grace through his Son throughout all the earth. And he says at this moment to you that the hour of his judgment is come. Then where are you looking? Where are you gazing? Where are you heading? Who are you following? This people who heard his voice follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. This people who have heard his voice sing a new song that none else can sing. This people who have heard his voice have been redeemed by his blood, chosen out of every nation, kindred, and tongue and people. This people fear God and give glory to him. This people know Christ and his salvation. This people have received the free grace of God freely and praise and worship him. Are you amongst this people?